My guest is an Egyptian who proves supernatural curses on North America are connected with the Jewish people. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there shall be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello. I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with David Damian. He's an Egyptian, a medical doctor that loves the Jewish people, I mean, to such a supernatural fashion, and I have to find out how this happened. David, you were a medical doctor, and you were called to go into ministry. How'd that occur?
Well, one day the Lord spoke to me as a medical doctor, and he asked me, he said, I've called others to be doctors, but not you. And I have called you for my heart. So when really I left medicine, it was not to do a ministry, because I was talking with my patients, with my students about the Lord when I was practicing medicine. Mm-hmm. So I didn't leave for a ministry, but I left because he wanted me for his heart. And that was a whole journey that started.
Now, you were involved in a season where everyone that prayed for people in the name of Jesus were being healed. Tell me about that.
It was a short period of time, for about a month and a half, too, that in the ministry that we were involved in, the Lord just moved supernaturally, that many people were healed. It's amazing that you don't need even to pray for them. They were just the presence of the Lord in the meeting, that people were started shouting of healing, started feeling delivered from curses and from bondages. It was amazing.
Tell me some conditions that people were healed of.
Well, I remember a story very clearly. I remember they took us to a home. There were five of us, and this man was lying on the bed. He was 18 years in bed. He has never walked. He has a disease that all the muscles were atrophied. There is no mm-hmm. tone in the muscles. And as we stood there, we were very young at this time, 24, 25 years old. We prayed for him, believing in Yeshua's name that he will be healed. And he stood up and walked. And when he walked, he bumped into one of my friends. And I said to his wife, "What's wrong?" She said, "He has a hand movement sight."
And what does that mean?
It means that he only sees the hand moving in front of his eye. Uh-huh. He cannot see beyond that. Mm-hmm. So we said to the Lord, "Lord, you will not heal him from just being lying in bed, and you will let him bump into people." And the Lord restored his sight that for 30 meters ahead, he could distinguish colors for the first time. Mm-hmm. So when we came out, when this man walked in the street, all the neighbors, they knew him for years. So all the neighbors came rushing out of their houses. And they said to us, come and pray for us. We said, "We pray in the name of Yeshua, name of Jesus." And they were not Christians. They said, We have seen it. Come and pray for us. So we know the key for opening the hearts of the people.
Now, there is, and we'll get to it in a little while, there is a key for our release of this degree of the supernatural power of God available right now that shortly is going to be available. But we'll talk about that a little later. However, you were raised to hate the Jewish people as an Egyptian, am I right?
That's right.
But yet you were a Christian. How could you hate the Jewish people?
Well, in our growing up, all the teachings that we received in school is hatred materials towards mm-hmm. the Jews. That the Jews are our enemies, the Jews that the people that God forsake. So we grew up with that feeling. And even in the church does not believe in Egypt that the Lord has anything to do with the Jews anymore. It's over, it's finished. They have refused Christ, they have killed the Messiah, and now the Lord is punishing them and judging them. So that's the way we grew up. So it needed a radical transformation of my mind just even to embrace any other thought.
Tell me one experience that perhaps is vivid of your personal hatred towards Jews.
Well, I remember one time when I was young, the Israeli army were hitting a target, which was an airport, and they missed the target, and it hit a school. Mm-hmm. And many of the kids died in the school. And that, you know, it was used at this time to release that hatred again that, you know, look at the Jews are trying to kill our little babies, our little children, our young mm-hmm. people. So we remember all my relatives were in the wars with Israel in the Egyptian army. So it brought a lot of hatred in our hearts towards the Jews.
So You happen to be raised in a Christian home in Egypt. You hate the Jews, just like the non-Christians, just like the Muslims. How did this whole thing change?
Well, the Lord spoke to me one time when I was hearing someone speaking about the Jews, and a hatred rose up inside of me. And I didn't know what was this about. I thought, well, I don't want to hear anything about the Jews. What is the difference between the Jews and the Filipinos or the Asians or anyone? The Jews are normal. Why will make a special thing for them? And then as I walked outside the meeting, I was troubled about the magnitude of hatred inside of me. And I asked the Lord, why am I so frustrated inside? Why is this inside of me? If anyone would have talked about any other culture, I would have not felt the same way. And the Lord used the verse that he spoke to Peter when Peter said to him, what about John? And the Lord said to him, if I want him to live until I come, what is it to you? And the Lord said to me, if I want to bless the Jewish people, what is it to you? And then I discovered that really I have a hatred towards this group of people and I don't want any blessing over them.
In other words, you would be upset at that point.
That's
if Jewish
right.
people were blessed.
That's right.
How did God change it?
Well, when I began crying out to the Lord.
Get rid of the hatred.
That's right. And then the Lord began healing my heart.
Hmm. Well, you went to Canada. God called you to Canada. You had a supernatural burden for Canada to have revival, but there was something blocking it, and you were crying to God to know what it was. How did he show you?
Well, at this time in Canada, we were on a journey. We wanted to see the destiny of this nation fulfilled. And really, the cry of our heart is for the glory of the Lord to come, that the Lord will move powerfully in this nation. We thought it is related to the Native people, the First Nation that's holding the blessing over Canada. We had many times of repentance, many times of dealings, but yet there was a big release, but the full results that I was looking for was not there. We had to do some things with the French people, and yet the full results are not there. And that, in that journey, I began crying out to God. I said, what is the root issue that's holding this nation? Why we don't see this nation, the favor of God on this nation? And I was on a journey, a trip, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me on the plane. And I was started weeping, and I didn't know what I was weeping for. But all what I could hear was the word Israel. And I said, what this has to do with me? I'm an Egyptian. What Israel has to do with me? And I'm praying for Canada. So what does it have to do with Israel and Canada? But the Spirit of the Lord did something in my spirit that all what I could hear inside was blow the trumpet, blow the trumpet, blow the trumpet. And in that, as I was crying out to God, and I said, God, what is it? All what I could see was Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, and the verse in the Bible saying, and Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they didn't know the hour of their visitation.
Do you know the hour of your visitation? You're going to find out. You're going to have a visitation by the Spirit of the living God. We'll be back right after this word.
Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with an Egyptian, David Damian. Now, David was raised to hate the Jewish people, and he went to Canada, and he said, God, show me the key to release your glory in Canada. And he got the shock of his life because God said the key involved Israel, the Jewish people. What did he mean by that?
Well, it was shocking to me because when the Lord spoke to me at this time, he said to me, the root issue, if you have been crying out for the root issue, not only for Canada, actually, I felt at this time is for all the nations in the world. And he said to me that the root issue is the anti-Semitic heart that even the Europeans came with when they found in North America. That goes way beyond the native, goes way beyond any other atrocities in the land. That the Europeans came with anti-Semitic heart in Canada, America.
So in effect, what you're saying is this is the root sin, the sin of sins that must be repented of to open up the gusher of God's glory.
That's right. Which is, I believe, that when we deal with the root issue, the favor of the Lord is going to be released upon the nation. And not only we're going to see miraculous things and signs and wonders, but we're going to see even the grace for healing, for healing of other atrocities and the release of the people.
So like here in North America, I've been concentrating a lot because it's in my heart in the black-white issue. So what you're saying is before that can be resolved, the root issue has to be resolved.
That's right.
Now, you found out some things, the history of Canada and the United States that very few people know. Tell me a few of those things.
And before I say that, I want to say that the Jewish issue might not be the most hurtful. Like when people, groups are hurt, they always feel, well, I'm hurt. And you cannot compare hurts. But what we're trying to say is we want to see the black people released. We want to see the native people released. How do we see them released is by dealing with the root issue, which is the Jewish issue that will unlock all the other people groups.
It's the key.
That's right. The amazing thing that happened when I discovered about the history, because I am an immigrant, so I had no clue about the history of the nations, especially North America.
But guess what? The people viewing us right now don't even have a clue of what you're ready to say. And there, many of them aren't even immigrants. I guess everyone's an immigrant to a degree in this country.
But something related to the Jewish history, always the enemy hides, and I don't know why. Maybe because it has a secret on unlocking things. One of them was the St. Louis ship that left Germany in 1939. And the Jewish people were in the concentration camps. 900 of them boarded the St. Louis ship, over 900. And they bought visas to Cuba with the little amount of money they had in the concentration camps. So when they arrived at Cuba, they were not allowed to disembark the ship.
Why? They had the visas.
But that's what they discovered there, because they were surprised. Why we are not allowed to disembark the ship? They told them the visas are not valid. Apparently, there was internal corruption in the Cuban ministry that that the visas were given to them and it was not valid. So the president of Cuba at this time, with his minister of immigration, to solve this problem, they didn't allow the Jews to come to Cuba. So at this time...
But didn't they know if they went back, 900 Jews would have gone into the ovens?
Well, that's what exactly happened, but they were not allowed to expose the internal corruption that happened on that expense. So the Jews felt at this time abandoned. What will they do? If they go back to Germany, they're going to die?
So there must be a curse on Cuba as a result of that. And boy, they've been going through it in recent years.
That's right. And actually, it's very interesting to see that. What happens in Cuba. But then a Jewish organization started sending letters to all Latin American countries. And all Latin American countries refused to take the Jews in. So they sent a letter to Mr. Roosevelt at this time, and Mr. Roosevelt didn't bother to answer back.
President Roosevelt.
President Roosevelt. They sent a letter to his wife.
Eleanor.
Appealing to her on a human basis. Please, if you don't want to take us, just take the kids. We don't want the kids to die.
Of course.
No answer back. Their last hope was Canada. They sent a letter to Canada.
But wait a second. Why? So the president said no. Why didn't they just disembark? The American public might.
Well, there was a Coast Guard at this time. They were not allowed. The Coast Guard was escorting the ship. They would have been killed.
Our government would have killed them if they got off the ship?
Well, that's what was happening. They were not allowed to disembark the ship or swim to the shore.
What a curse for America.
It was amazing that Canada even responded the same way. When our Prime Minister Mackenzie King at this time met with the cabinet, he came with the conclusion that to maintain the unity in Canada, we will not allow the Jews to come to Canada. And we sent also the Coast Guard to escort the ship away. Well, the ship sailed back to Europe. And at this time, just a few days before they arrived in Europe, knowing that all these 900 people are going to die, the world rose up and said, please do something for the ship. So Belgium, Holland, France, and England opened their doors. But a few weeks later, the Nazis took over Belgium and Holland and France, and two-thirds of these people died in the concentration
camps. So the ports that opened their doors to them, they still ended up in the ovens.
That's right.
Being murdered.
The other story that I was shocked about to hear about Canada is that our Minister of Immigration at this time, he was a Baptist elder. His name is Mr. Blair. He was a Christian, but he had an anti-Semite heart. There were thousands of kids dying in Europe, and the countries began pulling them out. So Mr. Blair, under pressure, was willing to receive 1,000 kids from a camp in France. Well, he made it clear through the bureaucracy of paperwork that Nazis took over France before they made it to Canada, and they all ended up in the concentration camps, and they all died.
They wouldn't take the 1,000 children?
I think if the kids were more British or more German, they would have been quicker accepted. But
in other words, the doors were open for everyone except Jews?
That's right. And that is the amazing thing that the Lord, these are not the issues that the Lord is dealing with. These are the tests that the Lord tested the nations for, but the nations failed. And the Lord has sent test over test, and the nations failed. But now the Lord is saying that there are no more tests. The Lord is asking for repentance so we can redeem the destiny of our countries and our nations.
Did God specifically tell you to call Canada to repentance over their attitude towards the Jew?
That's what happened. And when the Lord spoke to me, it shocked me. He said, I'm asking you to call Canada for repentance. And I said to the Lord, I'm an Egyptian.
Yeah, I'm the least likely.
That's right. I mean, what are you talking about?
Give me a break.
I mean, first of all, I mean, I'm an immigrant to Canada. Secondly, embracing repentance of Canada toward the Jews, I'm the most unlikely person for it.
Well, unlikely person, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this, and you're going to find out how God confounds the wisdom of the wise. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm speaking to an Egyptian medical doctor who God literally is using to confound the wisdom of the wise. He has been called by God to tell the people of Canada, unless you repent of the horrific sins against the Jewish people, what will happen if Canada doesn't repent or North America doesn't repent of these sins, David?
I believe this is a time of judgment that's coming, and we will miss the hour of our visitation, like when Jesus wept over Jerusalem. But how the Lord led me into that was very amazing to me, because the Lord knew how to lay hold of me, because I'm an Egyptian. It is very hard for me to embrace this calling Canada for repentance to the Jews. And it started with...
I mean, that's like the last thing in the world you could have... If someone said, imagine what God will use you for, that wouldn't have even been one of the...
No. And when the Lord changed my heart, I was happy that at least I don't have a hatred toward the Jews.
Right.
But for me to embrace a cause for them, it was unbelievable for me. And at this time, my wife was pregnant with our fifth baby. And the Lord spoke to us earlier that his name will be Benjamin. And 2 weeks before the delivery, I was supposed to go on a trip. And that's when the Lord explained to me about the whole destiny of Canada to the Jews. But I didn't know at this time. So my wife came to me the night before I was supposed to leave. And she said to me, David, I haven't felt the movements of the baby today. So I said
and
to her...
And your wife is also a medical doctor.
She's a medical doctor. And I said to her, well, all our kids were like that. They have 4 normal deliveries before, easy. I started encouraging her. But she surprised me by saying, no, David, the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me, because of this trip, the enemy wants to kill this baby. Satan wants to kill this baby. It shocked me, but sure enough, I trusted her. We went to the hospital, and she right away, when she arrived in the hospital, she was prepared for a C-section. And the baby came out, and he was not breathing well. He was distressed. So the pediatricians were trying to bring life to him. And the Lord was gracious, and he started breathing. And the surgeon leaned over me, and he said to me, David, half an hour later, you would have a different story on that baby. And I was shocked, totally wasted at this time. And I started crying out to God, and I said, God, what is this all about? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said to me, because of your wife's obedience, I saved the life of this baby.
Because your wife said that you could go to this meeting.
Yeah, because she heeded the warning that the Lord gave her. If she ignored the warning... we would have a dead baby. It was that half hour critical moment. And the Lord spoke to me, and that gives you the urgency of the hour of repentance that the Lord is calling us for at this time. And when the Lord spoke to me, he said to me, what I'm going to share with you now is not a matter, it's not a matter of delay anymore if you don't respond to it. It's a matter of life and death. And then the Lord began speaking to me about the whole thing about you have been crying out for the root issue. The root issue relates to the anti-Semitic heart of the Jewish people. And that's when the Lord began capturing my heart. But I felt in my heart, you know, this cannot be God. Who could ever believe me that the root issue of a nation related to the Jewish people? So I felt at least released in my spirit, okay, I'm going to travel across the land to share it with the leaders. And if the leaders don't embrace it, then I'm off the hook, because it's too dangerous of a call to me.
You wanted to be off the hook.
I wanted, because it's very dangerous.
Yes.
So I started traveling across the nation, speaking about this to the leaders. To my amazement, I found that the leaders are very receptive. Some of them wept when I was sharing and said to me, David, you have put your finger on the root issue of this nation. And that surprised me. And then I said to the Lord, Lord, how can we proceed from here? And the Lord said, I want not only just a repentance, I want the spirit of travail and supplication, that the church will own it, to repent deeply over the sins of this nation. I said, you're talking about Canadians travailing and weeping and lamenting? I mean, Canadians don't know how to weep in their funerals.
And over Jews, no less.
That's right. But the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, you don't know what I have prepared Canada for such a time as this. So I said, well, I'm going to travel, Lord, and I'm going to see. So I started traveling. To my amazement, I went to every province in Canada. There is always in the meeting people that are weeping and travailing and lamenting. I have never seen that scene ever in my life. Then the Lord began encouraging me, and he said, now I want you to call the church for that time of repentance, leadership. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to call the leaders, and I'm going to see another fleece. All this I was trying to see if the Lord can get me off the hook.
Right.
We gathered about 600 leaders and ministry leadership.
Who are you? How did you get 600 leaders throughout Canada?
Well, that's the point. When you have a fire in your bones, you cannot stay still. And that's what Jeremiah said. I wish I can relinquish this, but there is fire inside. And I said, I was happy if nobody showed up, because this means for me, I'm off the hook. But the Lord, every time, he would confirm it, that it is not you, it's me that's calling the people. And what happened is 600 leaders showed up in this gathering, and it shocked me to see the leadership. Their noses are dripping, their eyes are in tears, and they can't even take their handkerchief to wipe their noses. And when I saw that scene, I knew this is God. Nobody can initiate that in a Canadian leadership people. And when I saw that, the Lord spoke to me. He said to me, now I want to call the church for that repentance. And he said to me, I'll show you what I'm going to do. That was November the 11th. January the 24th, all the media and all the newspapers announced that our prime minister is in Auschwitz. He made the trip, the first trip ever for a prime minister in Canada to go to Auschwitz, Poland, the concentration camps. And that was shocking. And the Lord said to me, because the church are rising up like Esther. You know, when Esther said, I will be killed if I'll come into the presence of the king. And Mordecai said to her, you and your household will be killed anyway, but salvation will come from another source. Mm. And then Esther responded, said, if I die, I will die. And then the Lord interrupted the king's sleep to look into the scrolls, and right. He exposed to him. And that's what happened with our prime minister. He went to Auschwitz and was exposed firsthand to the atrocities over the Jewish people in the concentration camps.
What did he say about it?
He said, it shall not happen again. He wept there. And he said, I have the most moving pilgrimage I have ever done in my life.
What did this mean to you?
It means that the Lord is, as the church is beginning to move up, the Lord is moving the government, because there are steps that we're moving in. The next one we called is the whole church gathering in Winnipeg on July the 1st. And we did a whole day on July the 1st because it's Canada Day. There were 2,300 people gathered there, wept and travailed and lamented before the Lord.
What will happen if Canada and the United States and Europe repent over their attitude towards the Jewish people? What will happen?
I believe it will release the favor of God over the land. And what I mean by that is the presence of God will be in the land. Secondly, we're going to see miraculous signs and wonders everywhere, healings everywhere. And we're going to see the atrocities, the other atrocities with the blacks, with the natives. The Lord is going to give favor to see the healing between these people groups. And then Canada or the United States or any other country are going to rise up to fulfill their destiny.
What about you? Are you going to rise up to fulfill your destiny? You see, if you are anti-Semitic, if you have a hatred in your heart towards Jewish people, if you have ever even told a joke about Jewish people, you walk into a curse. God says in Genesis 12:3, I'll bless those who bless the Jewish people, and I will curse those who curse them. And after all, if you are a Christian, you have the blood of the greatest Jew who ever lived flowing through your veins. On the cross, what did it say? The King of the Jews. I urge you to repent of your anti-Semitism, ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus, And if Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior, repent of all your sins, but go after the root and repent of all of your sins and watch what he'll do. Who knows if you've not been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? You are special. Now get to know your God in Jesus' name.